2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. This week we're headed to Scottsdale, Arizona, out in the desert for the Phoenix Open, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, out there at TPC Scottsdale. Definitely one of the most unique tournaments that we go to each year. It's one of the most attended events in all of sports in the United States. If you count all 4 days of attendance, it's the most highly attended sporting event in the United States. And hole 16, of course, is what this course is famous for. You have thousands of people watching in the stadium seating surrounding that landing area on a par 3. It's definitely a sight to behold if you've never seen that before. Definitely seems like a tournament that would be fun to go to. Now, of course, before I get into breaking down the course, I've got to let you guys know that at DFSArmy.com, sign up with promo code TACO today and get you a lifetime 20% off discount. We cover all daily fantasy sports, and you can gain access to the research station that I am referencing throughout this podcast and the domination station lineup optimizer to help you quickly make up to 300 lineups on either FanDuel or DraftKings. For PGA or NFL, NBA, whatever sport you've got in mind. We've got NASCAR coming up around the corner with the Daytona 500. That should be a lot of fun as well. So DFSArmy.com, promo code TACO, and let's hop right into this this course here. Again, TPC Scottsdale. It's a 7,266-yard par 71. The field size of 130, so about 20 to 25 less golfers than we'd see in a fully packed field. So, you know, the 6 out of 6 rates in GPP won't be as low as last week, I'm sure, unless a whole bunch of chalk goes down. The most interesting thing to note about this course is the average driving distance. The only other course on tour that has a longer average driving distance is Glen Abbey and WGC Mexico, or Chapultepec. I want to make sure I'm saying that right. The one in Mexico City that has, you know, the insane elevation that makes the drives go like over 300 yards. But they hit it about 298 yards on average here. So definitely what you would consider a bomber's course. Only 55% of the drives hit the fairway on average. So there's definitely some trouble to be had finding your way out in the desert there, but this course really rewards the longer bombers who are able to stay in the fairway. Strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained approach are going to be absolutely crucial this week. We're definitely going to want to get the guys who are good at that aspect of the game and maybe struggle a bit with their scrambles or with their putting. You know, there's not a lot of scrambling to be done when, you know, a whole bunch of these holes at this course is just surrounded in water. You can't really scramble out of the water. But yeah, definitely a place you want to target the really, really good ball strikers. And you know, course history does really seem to be a thing here. Like at some of the other West Coast courses, you know, so many guys just do really, really well here year after year after year. Something that we kind of saw last week at Torrey Pines. It's going to play a little bit, you know, slightly easier than Torrey, but still, you know, somewhat tough. We should get a winner of about 17 under par or so. That should be about where the winner's at. Kind of depends on the weather. Things look pretty decent so far. Not a whole lot that goes on out in Arizona, you know. It's kind of always dry and steady. We're not going to see as much as many approach shots from like 200 plus yards as last week. It's not quite that long of a course. We will see a whole bunch concentrate in between 150 and 200 yards. So that might be something to look into. There are less wedge shots than usual. Other than that, you know, we're definitely looking to guys who have been playing good in California so far, that play good here at this course, and just have been playing really well overall. We can probably forgive people that had missed cuts at Sony 3 weeks ago, because that was kind of a bit of a disaster with the weather. Just keep in mind who those guys are that really struggled, like a Mark Hubbard, and just never use them in the weather again. You know, last week at Torrey Pines, you know, a bunch of really good names up here that are trying to bounce back off of a miscut there. Fowler, Xander, and Gary Woodland, Scotty Scheffler. Wouldn't be afraid to use any of those guys here. But I'd still look to, you know, find the guys that are, you know, gaining a bunch of birdies and fantasy points to the field. That's always going to be crucial. Avoiding the double bogeys here that might, you know, that might be really something to look at. But at the same time, if you've got a good approach game, that's usually what you're going to use to keep the double bogeys and water balls out of play. Because I think that's where, you know, the water in this course will really make it pay, is if your iron shots are errant. So I'm not really going to target too many people that have kind of a poor iron game. Kind of one of my reasons I'm fading Ricky Fowler this week. Even though he's had a lot of success here. Looking at the types of holes on the course, you've got three short par threes and one long one, so we'll want guys who are better at the shorter par threes, but again, par threes don't really matter too much for fantasy scoring. We're looking more at the par fours and fives for that, especially fives, and all three of the par fives at this course come in shorter than the average PGA Tour par five hole, so short par 5 scoring is definitely going to be key this week. Don't want to see your guys struggling in that category. And you also don't, you want to make sure that that's where your guys are generally pretty good at scoring, because par 5s can make up, you know, a ton of the DraftKings scoring. We saw the winner was outscored, I think, by multiple people last week because of how big eagles are on DraftKings. And then you've got 6 medium-length par 4 holes and 4 long par 4 holes. Both those ranges together, I just want to make sure that they're pretty darn good at those. And there's only 1 short par 4, so if you're going to be bad at any of the ranges, go ahead and be bad at that one. It's okay to be bad at the short par 3 range, I guess, because that's not really much of anything. People aren't really scoring there. But if you got a guy struggling at short par 5 scoring, that's where I might look to look a different direction. You know, it's the reason behind why I'm fading Spieth this week. He really struggles at those. Or Keegan Bradley also, someone else that I'm getting off of, because that's where, you know, you're leaving a lot of points on the board if you're not going to be getting birdies, and especially eagles, on those short gettable par fives. And then looking at the, you know, the eagles here, there are a decent amount of eagles. 0.1 eagles per round. So, you know, once one in every 10 rounds, someone will have an eagle, and that'll make a big difference, especially in showdown. So yeah, let's dive right into this field here. You've got John Rahm at 5-1, like we've seen several guys have over the last few weeks. But unlike Justin Thomas, who was 5-1 the other week at the Sony Open, he is only $11,400 on DraftKings compared to $12,000 that Justin Thomas was. So you're getting a pretty decent value there, a 10% adjusted implied win probability. That's pretty darn good. Compare that to Justin Thomas, $200 cheaper at $11,200. He's got a 7% adjusted implied win percentage. Of course, Rahm and Thomas, Fowler, Webb Simpson, Matsuyama up at the top. They kind of make sense. You know, a lot of the biggest of the studs, they played last week and they're skipping this week. But you've got, you know, some of the guys that like to play this event. They really like to keep playing this event. You know, this is one that either you love it or you hate it. Even though Tiger Woods has a really famous hit I think it was a hole in one at the 16 at this course. This is honestly an event that he skips almost every single year. You know, you've got some guys that that like to skip the pro-ams, and you know, with this being such a rowdy college type environment, you know, I can understand why some guys like to skip this one. But you know, some of the guys like, you know, Fowler, Matsuyama, they've really found their way at this course. And you know, if you look at Rahm starting off this field, he went to college right across the river down the road from this course at Arizona State University. You could say the same about Phil, but he's not playing this week. He's obviously dealing with something. His game is completely lost. But as for Rahm, quite the contrary. He's just been destroying everything. So many top two finishes and wins, both in Europe and, you know, like last week at the Farmers, finished runner-up there. I was looking like he could potentially force a playoff towards the end with his great back nine. So it's no surprise that Rahm is sitting here, odds-on favorite. You know, Thomas is coming off that miscut at the Sony Open. What's interesting for me is he's only ranked 20th in projected DraftKings points per round. And if you look into why that is, you know, he's 5th in the field at long par 5 scoring, but 48th in the field at short par 5 scoring. He is number 1 at the medium par 4 range, which 6 of the 18 holes, or one-third of the course, is at. So, of course, that's going to be a really good thing for him. But, you know, he scores as many, almost exactly as many DraftKings points on that hole type as, like, a Hideki Matsuyama. And Justin Thomas isn't too far behind. So, you know, both of those guys are better than Rahm at the short par fives, it seems, you know. And that's, you know, that's kind of why I'm looking at least playing Thomas and especially Webb Simpson more than Rahm. I mean, you could just continue to feed the hot hand, and if you can afford to pay up for him, like on FanDuel, where it's really easy to get to Rahm, then I definitely understand that. You know, looking at the comparisons between Rahm and Thomas, so Rahm's never finished worse than 16th here in 4 tries. And then Thomas, of course, he missed the cut here in 2016 and 2017, but 17th in 2018, and last year finished 3rd. Better than Rahm's ever finished here. He's won 3 of his last 6 events, even though he missed the cut at the Sony Open. Of course, that was, you know, with all that erratic wind and like crazy rains and weather. Thomas ranks out number 1 in projected fantasy points per round. 2nd in projected round scores, where Rahm ranks 4th in that. You know, he's got a much, much better approach game at the moment, gaining 1.13 strokes approach on average in his last 10 rounds, 1.4 strokes in his last 24 rounds, as where Rahm has actually been losing a small amount of strokes with his approach game recently. But of course, there are a lot of the rounds at, like, you know, Torrey Pines North, and you know, some of these multi-course events where we didn't really have shot link data, so we don't get the entire picture here. But you know that Rahm's got you on the off-the-tee part of the game. You know, he's one of the best at that, but Thomas really isn't that far behind him, and he's got a much better approach game right now. It's just Rahm is putting extremely well, almost gaining 1 stroke per round over his last 10. As for Thomas is doing, you know, kind of what he always does, and just losing 0.1 or 0.2 strokes a round. Pretty much a dead-even putter on Bermuda grass green, so I don't know if that'll make too much of a difference going from POA to Bermuda this week, but Thomas, I see him being lower owned than Rahm for sure, and I think he has higher upside, honestly, so I prefer using him over Rahm this week, even though I am a big proponent of using Rahm in general. You know, I just think that we're going to continue to see him, you know, fight for wins, is where Rahm will probably finish 5th to 10th, as, you know, it's kind of been lately, but, you know, who knows. Thomas also has a 10% better field rank at bomber courses, where he's been to 10 over the last year, with an 89% field rank split compared to Rahm's 78. That's pretty big there. So, you know, liking Thomas a little bit better there, especially with the lower ownership. I've got Ricky Fowler at $10,500. $200 more expensive than Webb Simpson on DraftKings, but he's $200 cheaper than Webb Simpson on FanDuel. With the bottom of the field being so, weak this week, and, me generally wanting to have a more balanced, spaced out lineup, I kind of like, instead of doing what I did in the previous week and taking the more expensive guys on whichever side they're going to be lower owned on, I think I'm probably going to try to get my Webb Simpson on DraftKings and my Ricky Fowler on FanDuel just to save a little bit of money, because it's not quite as easy as it has been in other weeks, but that's just how I have it going on right now. Plus, I think Ricky Fowler scores better on FanDuel than he does on DraftKings, but not terribly excited about using the defending winner here. In the last 4 years, he's finished first, 11th, 4th, and 2nd, but had some a really rough stretch of some miscuts before that. Did finish runner-up in 2010, all the way back then. So he's coming off the miscut last week at the Farmers Insurance Open, and before then, he was in pretty good form, I'd say. He rakes out 23rd in projected DraftKings points per round, 11th in projected round score. Actually loses 2 birdies to the field. It's completely different than you see with any other stud priced up here. So you're kind of just paying for the course history with him. I think you're overpaying with Fowler. He's losing a quarter of a stroke approach on average over his last 10 rounds. And off the tee hasn't really been doing too much either. Much better Bermuda putter than he's been putting lately. About a half a stroke better than he averages over his last 50 rounds. But still, I'm definitely going to be looking to Webb Simpson and Justin Thomas and Matsuyama over him. And Fowler's pretty much in a fade territory for me. But if I'm going to get some exposure to him, it's going to be on FanDuel. Webb Simpson, probably my favorite play of the week. I'd put him very close to Thomas and Rahm personally. I know he's 13-1. Thomas is 8-1. Rahm is 5-1. And I understand that. Those guys win a lot more. I think it's been over a year since Webb Simpson has won. But he just absolutely crushes the field constantly. If you look at his last several field ranks, 99%, 99%, 96% at the WGC event and the Wyndham Classic, right before the playoffs, 99%, 98%, 99% in Canada, another bomber scores here. Look at his bomber course rating in the field rank splits. That's 85%, better than Rahm, better than Fowler. Right there behind Thomas, I think second or third best in the field. He's just so consistent, so good. Ranks number 1 in projected round score, 5th in projected DraftKings fantasy points per round, but 3rd in projected FanDuel fantasy points per round. So just love Webb overall. Rates out super highly. Gains 36 fantasy points to the field, 3.5 birdies or better to the field. That's second, right? That's third, right behind Thomas and Rahm. He's right there with him, and his approach game is about as good as Justin Thomas's right now. He just doesn't gain quite as many strokes off the tee. He has been putting really, really well over his last 50 rounds. Very consistent, good putting we've seen from Webb. He's super consistent. Has seven out of his last 8 events played here. He's finished top 20. You're paying up a little bit for it over there on FanDuel, but even then, still, he'll be lower owned over there at least. But for me, he's going to be one of my core plays for sure. And then after that is a guy who's going to be a lot of people's core plays this week, and that's Hideki Matsuyama, almost inarguably the king of this course. Started his history off here 4th, 2nd, and then 2 wins in a row. He had the freak withdrawal in 2018, but then after that, 15th last week, recovered very nicely. Last week at the Farmers Insurance Open, T45 there, not too great, but still he's riding a solid, streak of form. He's kind of there with Fowler and Rahm, where he's 21st in projected fantasy points per round, but 7th in projected round score, so Maybe not the most cut out for fantasy scoring. He gains a decent amount of like birdies or better to the field. It's not horrible like Fowler. But still, the history speaks for itself. He's just a much, much better deal on FanDuel, where he's significantly cheaper than like Schauffele, who he's $200 more expensive than on DraftKings. And you know, instead of being $200 less than Webb Simpson, he's $400 left. Less than him over there. So, yeah, love him on FanDuel. Cash games, honestly, I like him. And GPP, I think he's a good fade or just someone to get off of there. Maybe just play him in cash and let the field have him in GPPs. That's kind of how I'm feeling about him right now. Xander Schauffele at $9,900. Missed cut last week, but this is a course where he's finished 17th and 10th at. Rakes 8th in projected round score. You know, pretty decent stats overall. Gained strokes, tee to green in every single category. He's just not been putting very well lately. And I think that's something that can turn around. So he's a perfectly fine play. Easier to get to him on DraftKings than FanDuel. You got a little bit of a gap between him and Finau at $9,600. He's a really good deal on FanDuel. That's probably where I'd get him. But this is a course that he struggles at severely. His last 4 years, he's finished 90th, 91st, 73rd, and 93rd here. And that was what his form was looking like earlier this year. Oh, with three horrible finishes in a row. Before, you know, getting into the California swing here and finishing 4th at the American Express or Old Desert Classic and 6th last week at the Farmers Insurance Open. Those were some courses he's really good at. This, not so much. He ranks 36th. And projected fantasy points per round. I definitely have him as one of the bigger fades here. I know his approach game has been really solid, and honestly, his entire tee to green game has been solid. He's just been putting poorly. But you know, there's something obviously he doesn't really like about this course and this environment. I think we'll continue to see him have another not so great performance. And then, of course, he also struggles severely at short par fives, ranked 78th in this field at scoring on short par fives, which is pretty miserable. 17th of the long par fives. So that might be significant enough to warrant getting off of him a little bit. Matt Kuchar, who's finished top 10 here 3 years in a row. Not really one for fantasy scoring, but actually rates out 7th in DraftKings scoring this week, shockingly. Just a really good fit for this course. I just mentioned short par five scoring. That's where Kuchar excels at. He's 13th in the field at that and really good at scoring that, especially on FanDuel. That's just one of the things he does. You know, he's super consistent and just knows how to keep it in the fairway. And that's important here. I know he's not definitely not as long as he has been. His distance has been falling off a little bit. And in his recent form has been a little bit sketchy. And I think that's going to directly affect his ownership as well. It's not going to be too crazy, just like Finau's. But you know, he's really good at places that he has really good course history at, and that's something that has stayed true to Kuchar, you know, the king of the top 10 over the last decade or so. Speaking of top 10s, Gary Woodland has two straight top 10s here, including a win in 2018. So it was a good win defense from him. And he was riding a streak of top 10s coming into last week before missing the cut by two strokes at the Farmers Insurance Open. Called that fade there. He was definitely on the top of my fade list, but I like to bring him back this week. I don't mind playing him here. You know, that ownership bubble, hopefully that's bursting. You know, he's got a pretty good price. I think people will still play him for sure, especially with the, you know, recent history here and all that, even as a fifth from back in 2011. But, you know, just rates out pretty decently and everything. Maybe his approach game leaves a little bit to desire, but that's something that could regress because that's always been, you know, something he's been good at. You've got Morikawa, who continues to make cut after cut. He still never missed a cut on the PGA Tour. He's at $9,200, 10-7 on DraftKings. Really skilled at par 71s for whatever that's worth. His approach game is super, super solid, gaining almost an entire stroke approach per round on average. And pretty good off the tee as well. Kind of exactly what we're looking for here. A sweet someone that I'm going to be looking to attack in GPPs. I've got Bryson DeChambeau, who debuted with a fifth place finish here in 2018. So he's been playing in Europe a bit recently. The most recently that we've seen him on the PGA Tour, he finished fourth at the Shriners Insurance Open, or just the Shriners Open. It's not an insurance company. And then the Safeway Open, he finished 13th. That was also here in California. So he's been in Europe, and he was looking like he was contending for the win at Dubai, and he got put on a clock for taking too long, as he likes to do. Ended up finishing with four straight bogeys, so he's always a bit of a mental case, but I don't mind him in GPP this week. Rates out sixth in projected fantasy points per round. A lot of rust. He hasn't played in America in a little bit. He's been out in Europe, but, someone that I wouldn't be too surprised to see randomly have a pretty good day. And if there's one thing that I know that DeChambeau is good at, and that is getting birdies, finding birdies, finding eagles. Really good showdown play, honestly, if he starts to look pretty good. Probably someone I'd hop on in showdown if I don't have much of him in week long. Bubba Watson, he's really interesting because he's been playing like garbage for the last like year or two. But six last week at a course he's really good at, the Farmers Insurance Open. He's just like Kuchar, and when he's good at a course, man, is he good at that course. And he wins and has top fives there over and over and over. And this is a place where he has four top fives since 2012, including a fourth last year here. This is a place that rewards exactly what Bubba is good at. He's always one of the leaders on tour at strokes gained off the tee. And recently he's been gaining like 3/4 of a stroke approach, even putting pretty well. It's not someone that I would go in on too much here, of course. He's going to have like single digit ownership still because he's really priced up for this. But in GPP, he's definitely worth a look, at least, getting some amount of exposure to him. You've got Brant Snedeker, $8,900, who, is always pretty cash money during the West Coast swing. 12th at the Sony Open, 3rd in the Farmers Insurance Open, was in my core both times. This week I'm kind of pumping the brakes a little bit. I think I'll play him in cash. He rates out 16th in this field in projected round score, but only 51st in fantasy points per round. He's a little bit short for this course, only hitting at 286. His history here, he has some good finishes, but it's pretty inconsistent up and down. He's always making the cut. But he has a lot of 50th and 60th, 40th place finishes and so on with, three top 10s since 2011. But still, they're starting to price him up correctly. Moved him up $500 from last week. It's about where he should be priced, so I'm not really looking to abuse it too much. It still rates out pretty well, but I like playing him in cash. I'll get to him in GPP for sure if I need to, but I'm really about the next play on the board. And that's Sungjae Im at $8,800. 10-5 on FanDuel. The dude just keeps grinding it out constantly. He's going to play every single week, like he did last week, or last year, it seems. Just playing constantly. 21st, 10th, and 36th to start the year off. I think he's got like 8 or 9 cuts in a row. Debuted here with a T7 finish. Really good stuff. He's been destroying birdies or better lately. Gaining 3.5 to the field. That's like elite up there with like Rahm and them. So he's one of my for sure core plays this week. Rates out as our highest projected value play, but he will be popular in the upper teens, maybe even pushing 20% ownership in tournaments. I mean, his price is just a little low on DraftKings at least. Pretty fair priced on FanDuel, but $8,800 for him, that's just been putting out, such a providable assets, actually lost some strokes approach in his last event. It was a little bit worrisome, but this is the only thing I've really got of concern for him. He rates 4th in projected fantasy points per round. He's top 25 in all the important categories for this week, the hole types, so not someone I'm worried about. Brendan Grace, $8,700. Runner-up last year. He's been god-awful whenever he's played in the States recently. Just pitiful at every single event he goes to. But in Europe, he's done really well. Just won a few weeks ago at the South African Open. It's one of his home events. So He's going to be sneaky on FanDuel, I think. I don't think people get to him on FanDuel because it's not going to show any of his Euro stuff. On DraftKings, they might, but he really is priced up significantly this week. You know, being right behind him in pricing, it's going to be hard to play him as much of anything more than just a pure contrarian play. But I do like him on, you know, if you can play Super Draft, his multiplier is like 1.6 there. It is absolutely ridiculous. Kind of a freebie play there. So be sure to check that out. Spieth, he has two top 10 finishes here and a miscut from 2018. That's the last time he's played. He's been playing like hot garbage lately. If anything, he'll Dennis system you, and he'll inspire hope as he, you know, goes up to the top 10 by round two, where for some reason he's just an amazing round two play and showdown every time, always super high owned, and then just always predictably falls off a cliff during the weekend on those Saturdays and Sundays. Rates out 67th in this field in projected round score and projected fantasy points per round. Horrible driving accuracy of 53%. That's something that's been consistently awful about him over this bad stretch of golf that we've seen from him. Only beaten 65% of the golfers he tees up against. So he's priced up there with guys that are doing a lot better than him. You're losing tons of strokes off the tee, losing strokes approach, just gaining them all putting, just kind of the opposite of the play I'd ever want to make. So he's going right to my fade pile, of course. And you've got a couple of young guys who have been doing a lot of work lately. Hovland, we know he ended last season and started this season off with, you know, a pretty big bang, having some really good results there and, you know, just crushing off the tee and approach statistically. He's what we're looking for, gaining over one strokes off the tee and approach in his last 10, last 25, and pretty much all of his rounds that we have measured of him, which is 32. Almost always gaining a stroke in both of those categories. Super, super strong play from him there. But, of course, lately he's been in Europe, and when we've seen him in America, he hasn't done the greatest, you know, at 270-person field events. He finished 31st and 41st, and then 82nd right outside the cut line at the Mayakoba Classic. That's the last time we saw him stateside. But in Europe, he was okay. He was fine. He had like a top 20 in one of them, missed the cut in one of them. He was just, you know, it was fine. So I'm not really sure what we're going to get from Hovland here. But he definitely has a ton of upside, even a slightly better odds than Scheffler here. Way higher priced on FanDuel than he is on DraftKings. So if you're going to play him, get him on DraftKings. You know, you're not missing out from not having his Euro game log over there on FanDuel. So Scheffler really makes a lot of value over there. But, of course, he's going to pop if you look at fantasy points per game because he's been smoking hot since the beginning of the fall swing. He's, as a result, he's second in projected fantasy points per round. And if you look into why that is, it's pretty simple. He's second in the field in long par 4 scoring, 18th at medium length par 4 scoring, and then there are three of those short par 3s on the course. He's sixth in that as well. So really good fit for this course here. Had a pretty bad miscut at the Farmers Insurance Open last week, finishing 4 strokes off the cut, the cut line. Had a few really bad double bogeys, but you know, if he gets those in check, which before that event, he was really good at avoiding double bogeys and such, but you know, if he can get that back in line, he had 3 top 5 finishes in his last 4 events before that, with the worst being the 18th at the Mayakoba Classic. So Scheffler, definitely someone that I've got on my radar, especially for FanDuel. And Hovland, of course. I'm sure they'll get fairly popular. You got an overpriced guy here in Reavie, who I don't really like. He's been playing terribly. Just has a 4th and a 2nd in his last 2 events here. And then 3 finishes worse than 70th the 3 years before that. Not interested in paying up for him over 8K, you know, for that. Palmer at $8,200. A lot of people are going to be into him. He's been playing really, really solid lately, you know, crushing it off the tee. But yeah, the last 3 years here has been a real struggle for him. He does have a couple of top 5s going back to 2013. So I probably won't have none of him, but still, he's definitely a stock that's really inconsistent. I think that's ready to come crumbling down here anytime. You know, I faded him last week, and it was looking like a good bet until he had a 10 under on Friday. So he's always got that in the bag. But yeah, Cam Smith barely made the cut last week and didn't do much on the weekend, but that was coming right after his win at the Sony Open. You know, the Australians are just killing it this year. He's really good at bomber courses, but he does a lot of his work with the short game, a lot of it with his putter. Recently, he's been just murdering it with the putter. So it's a cheap price for him for sure, but still, you know, I don't know. Ryan Moore, Matthew Wolff at $8,000. They're both pretty decent, bets. You know, they're going to be on the lower side of ownership. Wolf is intriguing with how long he bombs it. You know, Moore is really short off the tee, but he's had success here in the past. Wolf just T50 in his debut last year. I like his off-the-tee stuff. He just needs to be a little bit better with his approaches, and I think we saw signs of that at the Farmers Insurance Open. Was hitting it pretty decently on the South course as far as approaches go. Then you've got Corey Connors at $7,900. Technically is coming in with like six straight top 20 finishes, although most of them are at reduced fields. But still, he's playing great. Tee to green, or off the tee and approach, the two splits that we're looking at the most this week. He crushes it all the time in those. He just can't putt for crap. But, you know, if there's one spot where he can potentially do well, it might be here. He's never played here before, but I reckon he's going to be probably going to get somewhere popular. He's actually drifting the most in the Vegas odds. He's gone from 73-1 all the way down to 62-1. 15% move there, so that's fairly significant. But yeah, I think he's going to be a pretty decent play. I've got really a lot of good plays here. You got Jason Kokrak, who's got some really good off-the-tee work. He's $7,900, 20th last year, makes 88% of his cuts. Daniel Berger, $7,800, several top 10 finishes here, and just starting off the year really decently, putting up a lot of top 30s. You know, still struggles with fantasy scoring, ranked 98th in projected DraftKings points per round, but 36th in projected round score. So he's got to start birdieing a little more, which it looks like he has, if you look at his recent versus long term. But you know, I don't mind him as a little pivot from some of these other plays here. Brian Harman, same price, but $500 cheaper on FanDuel. Very, very good price for Harman on FanDuel. He's been playing really, really consistently. A lot of top 25s from him to start the year. And it fits his course pretty well. He's gaining strokes in pretty much every category, especially tee to green, so I don't mind him. And Russell Knox, top 10 here last year, and just always making the cut. He has like nine straight made cuts now, all quality. Just a better cash game play, a better FanDuel play than DraftKings or GPP tournament play, because he's kind of like Berger, you know, 92nd rated in projected fantasy points per round, but just a consistent, super solid cut maker. Keegan Bradley, I mentioned earlier why I don't like him. He has two solid finishes in a row, but they're both at courses that he had really good history at. This is not one of them. He's struggled to do much here since, you know, over the last few years, and doesn't fit his style. Not good at the short par threes, really bad at those, and I think that's too important here. And you've got another guy who's been drifting almost as much as Connors. Has drifted 14% from 74-1 to 64-1. That's Byung-Hung Ahn, whose history here is 6th, 23rd, and 20th over the last 3 years. The last 2 weeks have been really rough for him. Missed the cut at the American Express, and then darn near missed the cut at the Farmers Insurance Open. He was up there to begin the week and then just fell apart, as his putting has been horrific, losing 1.6 strokes putting on average over his last 10 rounds, and losing three-fourths of a stroke off the tee over his last 10. That is alarming. That's usually what he does well. So if that regresses at all, and we're headed to a course where he has putted better at this course than at any other course in his PGA Tour career, it could be a really nice turnaround spot for him, and I can see why a lot of people are betting him up this week. Really cheap price for Byung-Hung Ahn. Gonna run down the rest of the field here real quick. Got Andrew Putnam, who has made a million cuts in a row. He's there at $7,500. Vaughn Taylor, a very interesting guy, has some top tens here, and it was looking to be really popular at the American Express. Ended up just making the cut only because it was a three-round event. He would have missed the cut otherwise, but squeaked in there, got the entire chalk through. He's like the chalkiest person in the event, but still, he's making 90% of his cuts. Had the runner-up at the Mayakoba, 10th at RSM, 12th at the Sony Open, and at a course he's had some success at before. For $7,500, that's going to be a really good look there. Really cheap on FanDuel as well, under $9,000. Definitely going to get some of him on FanDuel. You've got Brendan Steele, who, if you take out last year's missed cut at this event when he was playing injured, his history before that, 3rd, 16th, 17th, 26th, 6th, 6th, 5th, so good at this course, and he was just in a playoff to win 3 weeks ago. I know he missed the cut pretty badly this last week, and statistically, not very good. You know, doing it all putting, but you know, just something to consider there. Still going to stay away from him because of the lack of fantasy scoring and birdies gained, but still, you know, good spot for him to get back in form, because the Sony Open was another similar kind of course for him there, and he ended up popping. And it looks like he's not quite as horrible anymore as he's further away from his injury. Tom Hoagie. So this guy is on fire to start the year. 12th, 6th, and 5th in his first three events in 2020. Now that is a very good 2020 after coming off of three straight missed cuts in the fall swing before that, which he did start off with a second at the Greenbrier. He made the cut here last year, just T44, missed the cut the year before that. Nothing special, really. Loses birdies to the field and stuff. What's been getting him by is red-hot irons, gaining 1.7 strokes approach over his last 10, 0.8 strokes approach over his last 25, and a hot putter, too. 1.2 strokes gained putting over his last 10 compared to, on average, you know, he's just a dead even, zero strokes gained putter on both Bermuda and just in general. So expect that to regress a little bit. Long term, he's only made 45% of his cuts, so he's still a scrub at heart. But a lot of people are going to be on him because of that obvious recent form. I just don't know if it's really... I love the approach game, don't get me wrong. But I don't know if the putting will hold up. And those top 10s might start turning into top 15s, top 20s, top 30s. But still, he's cheap, $7,400. Just know he's a scrub at heart. Like, why is he the same price as Billy Horschel, who's, you know, a bona fide good golfer? That might be a spot to look to. If you look at long-term made cut percentage, Hoagie's at 45%. Horschel's at 82%. A much bigger difference there. He's been struggling a little bit with his approaches, but all last year and the year before that, he was super good in that regard. So maybe that's something that could regress, but it's also just, you know, could be an issue. But he's made six out of his last seven cuts here, including five in a row. No real top 20s from him, though, but, you know, always finish around T30 or so. You know, at that cheap of a price, and just with how good of a golfer we know that he is, it's not the worst place you can make your pick this week. No thank you on JB Holmes. He's like the great value Bubba Watson in this field. Same sort of situation, but no, he's just way too horrible for me. Harris English is cheaper than him, and, you know, he's got, you know, a bunch of top fives recently and some top fives at this event, like back in 2016. Maybe someone I can see myself going back to. Emiliano Grillo, with how crazy his off the tee and his approach game is compared to his short game. You know, statistically, fits this place perfectly. Zach Johnson, who always makes the cut here, and he's coming off of a missed cut at the American Express Open, but, or the American Express, as it's called. But if you look back at the last decade of Zach Johnson golf, he has only missed back-to-back cuts once. He almost always bounces back and makes the cut after missing the cut. Granted, he does not score a lot of fantasy points doing that. 106th ranked in this field. Only 285 off the tee, so he's not a high upside play by any means. But by golly, he's going to make the cut. And you know, from 2015 to 2017, he finished 10th, 4th, and 12th here. I'm just saying. I know he's not really cash safe, but honestly, probably is cash safe if you can find him cheap enough. You've got Rory Sabatini, who I thought was cash safe last week, finally missed a cut this year. You know, kind of shaky history from him. He's just near too many other really, really good golfers. Core value play for me this week is Adam Hadwin at $7,200. You know, not the greatest last time out, finishing T68 at the RSM Classic, but second at the Safeway Open in California. I was on the West Coast there, and then fourth at the Shriners, which I think was at Las Vegas, so another desert place. Ranks 10th in projected fantasy points per round, makes 88% of his cuts, 73% of his greens are regulation, hits 68% of fairways. Dude's pretty much a beast, gaining 0.6 strokes off the tee and 0.96 strokes approach over his last 10. Adam Hadwin, $7,200. Awesome play. I've also got, at the same price point, a few other very interesting young guys. Denny McCartney, who has yet to miss a cut this year, also ranks top 20 in projected DraftKings fantasy points per round. Just the best putter ever, apparently, who survived the POA last week and barely made the cut, because he's awful on POA, but great at everything else. Back on Bermuda, bent grass is his best type, but he's still pretty darn good at Bermuda, averaging a stroke gain per round. So, yeah, screw it, Mr. Putting King, just keep on rolling. I kind of like him as like a cash game play. I don't know about the GPP upside, although he has 3 top 10s since the Shriners, but still. For GPP, I'll go to Lanto Griffin here, coming off a pretty bad miscut from last week. Quickly got off to a 4-over start, just like he did in Sony before he finished T7, but was not able to recover this time. He ranks 3rd in the field in projected round score, 14th in projected fantasy points per round. He's number 1 in this entire field at, which one was it? I'm looking at the wrong thing here. He's number 1 in this entire field. Number 2, my bad. At medium length par 4s, which is the most common hole type here. 9th in short par 5 scoring. And also 2nd at long par 3 scoring. But that's not as important as short par 3 scoring, which he ranks 34th in the field at. Still not bad. Super cheap price. I know it's a low sample size here, but still... the dude was absolutely incredible up to this point. You know, he was just 7th at the Sony right before the Farmers Insurance Open, where, yeah, he had a terrible time, but he's still a winner at the Houston Open and, you know, still rates out just super solidly. So I expect him to still be a little bit popular despite coming off the missed cut. You've got Martin Laird, who has maybe some of the best course history here. 4 top 10 finishes since 2011. And 6 straight made cuts for him overall. Going down to the bottom of this field, I like Max Homa at $7,100. He's drifting a lot, 11% drift in Vegas so far. Also a 10% drift for Laird, who I just mentioned. Homa debuted T26 here last year. West Coast guy. Started the West Coast swing off with a couple of made cuts. A top 10 last week. Just remember, he is also... scrub at heart, although he does tend to make a decent amount of cuts, just not, he doesn't really do too much with them. Joel Damon at $7,100, not bad there. You know, some other good plays here. Harry Higgs sticks out as an odds to pricing guy, has 2 top 10s over the last 6 events he's played, including last week where he was pretty good, ranks 15th in projected round score and projected fantasy points per round. Cameron Tringali, who's still just making all those cuts, sort of like Knox, but he's missed his last 4 cuts here at this event pretty badly. But before that, he was 12th in 2014. Not really sure how I feel about him there, but still a very cheap price for someone who makes 90% of his cuts. Chesson Hadley has finished top 20 here in the last 2 years at $6,900. And other than that, he's kind of, he rates out crappy because he's kind of crappy. Down the 6K range here, it's really hard to find some guys. I might use Doc Redman at 6,600. He's, you know, doing well enough here, and he does exactly what you want. Off the tee and approach. Very good at those. Horrible at around the green. Horrible at putting. This is a much better surface for him to putt off of. And then probably end up being my go-to guy down here, but $6,600, Brian Stewart. Has a few top 20s here in his last, his last five starts since 2014. And he's really never missed a cut here, even though he has some shaky finishes like T65 and T55 his last 2 years. Still making cuts, and that's something he's done a lot this year. Has several top 10 finishes over the last few months, actually. The RSM, the Shriners Open, where he finished 4th, 17th at the Safeway. So good on his West Coast starts so far, I guess. Really short off the tee, but again, at $6,600, I know Redmond probably fits out the course statistically a little better, but Stewart, honestly, probably a safer bet to make a cut. Then if you go much cheaper than that, it's going to be really hard. I guess maybe Nick Taylor, but he has shitty history here at $6,500. And then you get too much cheaper. I mean, maybe Chris Kirk, he also has some history here, but he's had a lot of time off. I don't know how he's feeling right now. Hubbard at $6,200, kind of baiting us there. He's made 2 of 2 cuts here. And honestly, has been pretty solid outside of that horrible, horrible last place finish at the Sony Open. Has made 78% of his cuts. So at $6,200, not the worst play, but eh. And then, of course, at $6,200, Love Mark. If he's back, he's seriously underpriced. But we got to make sure that he's back. And we did have a good Farmers Insurance Open. And this is a place where, it's right by where he went to college and all that. But he's actually sucked here over the years. So if he has a good finish here, that might be someone to definitely check out before the sites get hip to him again. So that's going to be all. We're through this whole field here. The Phoenix Open, Waste Management Phoenix Open at TPC Scottsdale. One heck of an event. Definitely check it out on TV. See if you can catch yourself a live stream from 16. Watching a hole-in-one live and hole 16 would be probably one of the most surreal experiences ever. Probably one of the loudest experiences ever. Go check out some highlights of it on YouTube right now. It's a really exciting atmosphere, and there's definitely a reason that so many people attend this event. It being leading up to the Super Bowl, that might also be a part of it, but definitely a fun activity to do while you're waiting for that Super Bowl to come. And we've got you covered over here at dfsarmy.com. Use promo code TACO for a lifetime 20% off discount. And I will see you guys next week at the Pebble Beach, a multi-course event again. Yay, can't wait for that. But I'll see you guys then. Later.